If there could be an engine of recommendations and search that gives you the best audio, then I think users are going to use that, right? If they have a good experience with searching for something, finding a piece of content, listening to it, engaging with it.
Welcome to Your Intended Message, the perfect place for leaders and promising professionals who want to convey the intended message for greater success. Every week, we interview experts who address the challenges and best practices to deliver your message effectively. That might be one-to-one, one-to-few, or one-to-many. And perhaps the most important conversation, one-to-self. I'm your host, George Torok. My guest today is Amit Kukreja. He is CEO and founder of Audia, a new platform for aggregating audio online. Amit, welcome to Your Intended Message.
Thanks for having me, George. I appreciate it. I'm happy to be on the show and talk all things audio and what my intended message is for this platform.
And yeah, let's find out about audio. And people might have said that, you know, with when TV came out, that radio was going to die, but it didn't. It maybe even got stronger over the years. And people might have said that when video came out, like YouTube came out, audio is going to die, but it hasn't. In fact, there's been a proliferation, and I believe the number of podcasts, audio podcasts, is somewhere in the millions, which yep. Sounds crazy. What's happening? What's the attraction of audio? Why is it still here? And why is it growing?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, the recent pandemic definitely gave people a lot more time on their hands over the past 2 years, and they had more time to do different things. And audio became one of those sort of core forefronts of how they were ultimately consuming content. I think one of the big things to understand about audio, and the reason I'm so bullish on it to the point where I made a whole technology company and platform around it, is that I think that it's sort of the next wave of how humans are going to be able to be productive while still consuming content. Content creation and production, and as you said, the proliferation of it, there's never been a better time to be alive if you are a content creator, whether you're creating articles, video, or audio. The problem with that no barrier to entry is that there are literally millions of billions of different pieces of content created every day and distributed on major technology platforms. If that's the case, the question then becomes, what's vying for our attention? And audio is one of those mediums where you don't need to stare at the screen, where you don't need to have a sort of intimate relationship with the content in a way that it consumes your time. You're actually able to do other things while consuming content on the go. And the ability to be productive, which is what we all care about, but still get the information, which is what we also care about, to me creates a symbiotic relationship with audio as a medium and content as a emerging democratized way of people consuming different things. So I think at that point, if audio has platforms that are able to support it and help get it discovered more in the mainstream, then it just becomes a no-brainer in terms of how big it can get.
A good time for content creators. And as you pointed out, the barrier to creating content is minimal, almost yeah. Zero, which means that there's a lot of bad content out there. Not only poorly put together, but just plain wrong. And so how do people choose amongst all this content that's coming at them?
Well, I think there's two things. I think number one, there is a responsibility on the individual to actually do their own due diligence when they're trying to figure out what content they want to consume. So obviously, if you're consuming content from like NPR, which is, I don't know, they've had their radio show for decades now, it's much more likely that the content is going to be well-researched, well-developed, and presented in a meaningful way versus getting it from some random person who's doing the news. However, what we're noticing in consumer behaviors and consumer insights is that people care more about the random person versus the legacy media companies and platforms that are existing that are democratizing the ability for the regular person to get their voice out there are seeming to be more interesting because everyone feels like they have the opportunity to be able to speak. At that point, I think there is a sort of at least ethical or I guess moral responsibility for platforms to be able to take responsibility for that, right? So if YouTube knows that there's just a ton of misinformation on the platform, then they have to use their algorithmic curation tools that they spend billions of dollars on to make sure that the content presented is done in a meaningful way. So I think the individual obviously has an obligation to find content that's relevant and that's not fake and misinformed, but the platforms also have the responsibility given they control so much power over the content to make sure it's meaningfully presented.
So you have launched the platform called Audia, which is a combination of audio and idea.
Yep.
And it's at, and that's audea.io.
Yep. .io.
What's your thinking behind Audia? What role is it going to serve? How's it going to help people consume content?
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting. The first of all, the way I came up with the name is I had this idea back in October 2020, and I was making a pitch deck for it. And I was sending a pitch deck to my old college professor to see his thoughts on it. And I didn't want to send him the pitch deck with no name for the company. So I just stared at, you know, these two words, audio and idea. I was like, okay, the platform's around ideas and they're rooted in audio. And I'm like, well, let's put them together. And Audia, that's when it was born. And it was, the name just stuck. And I was like, all right, this is going to be the name forever. Look, fundamentally, I think there's a problem in audio distribution. And the problem in audio distribution is that podcast companies, which are the primary form of how people get their audio, distribute content through a decentralized RSS feed. To me, that is the most idiotic way of distributing content. And the reason that's idiotic is because you put your content into a distributor, an RSS feed, and that sends it out to 1,000 different platforms. First of all, no one is on 1,000 different platforms. They're on two of them at most, which are they control 95% of the market, which is Spotify and Apple. So if you're not getting your content actually listened to on Spotify and Apple, it's very difficult to build an audience on like some random platform that exists that connects to an RSS feed. Now, the problem with Spotify and Apple is that they're not giving organic discoverability to creators. What I mean by that is when you go onto the home feed of those major companies, they're going to have partnerships with exclusive media companies. Spotify has over like 700 different exclusive partnerships with content companies. Apple has partnerships with Marvel and the Wall Street Journal and all this stuff. And the home feed is just going to be crowded by premium elite media content that Spotify and Apple have paid for. So they are turning more into a Netflix of podcasts versus what I would call a YouTube of audio. A Netflix of podcasts is you pay for premium audio content, you get people in the door, and you eventually sell them on a subscription. A YouTube of audio is you let creators create the content, and an algorithm curates how the content ultimately finds people, functionally becoming a search engine for audio, right? So on YouTube, if you want to make a video on weight loss, you type in the words weight loss in the video, you put it in the platform, and that YouTube's algorithms take that video and they put it in front of the right demographics that care about weight loss. That's not happening on the major audio platforms. You can't do a podcast on weight loss and then automatically gain organic traction because the platforms are recommending it to people that care about weight loss because of the platform's fiduciary commitment to care about musicians, which they have to sell a lot of music streams, and exclusive podcast shows. This is the sort of $100 million that they've given to people like Joe Rogan. And Joe Rogan's weight loss nutritionist expert interview is going to get a lot more airplay than your random weight loss nutritionist interview. So at that point, I think there needs to be a democratized search engine for audio where creators can upload their audio into that platform. And that platform has the algorithmic capacity using keyword search, machine learning, artificial intelligence to get that content in front of the right demographics. And because I don't think that open platform exists, I think Audia could fill in that white space. And if we could, then I think there's a chance it could be big.
So there's a need or an opportunity to enable people to search for audio because we know they're listening. We know they're listening. However, if they want to find particular topics, it's a little difficult to do because of the way the podcasts engines are structured, the way they're commercialized, I guess.
Yeah, it's not even hard for them to find. It's almost impossible. I mean, like when you upload your podcast in through an RSS feed, all the RSS feed does is it distributes the podcast to every single platform. So at that point, those platforms just become hosting platforms. They're not organic platforms that use targeted algorithmic discovery mechanisms to put your content in front of the right demographics. And this is the problem with these podcast companies. And I think they've really brainwashed people into thinking, oh, if you're on, you know, Buzzsprout and Anchor and Spotify and Apple and Overcast and Pocket Radio and all these other app platforms, you're going to get discovered. It's like that's the most farthest thing from the truth that could ever be possible. If you think about something like video, you don't put your video everywhere, right? You put your video in one place. Why do you put it in one place? Because that place has become the behemoth of being able to distribute content at scale and for people to be able to find content at scale. The reason we do YouTube is because we know our video will gain traction on YouTube versus something like Vimeo. But with podcasting, it's like, let's just put it everywhere and see what happens. And I'm like, that makes no sense. Because if you put it in one place and that place has the ability to actually get it discovered by different people, then that's likely going to give you a much better chance of building an audience, at least a much better chance than distributing in Spotify and Apple and hoping to God one day that they recommend your content.
So the analogy that I see is with marketing a product or service where you, let's say you're marketing online, where you send out, you get one of these bots or these people that send out millions of junk spam email, hoping that somebody comes through, versus looking for the right people, perhaps on a platform like LinkedIn, and reaching out to them directly and specifically with language key to them. So in other words, direct marketing versus just spray and pray.
Right. And the platform has to have the ability to recommend your content, right? LinkedIn has to have the capacity to put your content in front of the right people. Otherwise, you're waiting for those people to find you. And I don't think that exists for audio at scale, where you put a piece of content on a platform and the platform then brings you the audience, and then you can start playing the game of how to work within the algorithm of the platform. I don't think that exists because of how podcasting has been distributed over the past 20 years. So if we could change that, I think we could change a lot of things.
Now, you used the example of if someone wanted to learn about weight loss, would they, there's got to be some podcasts that deal with weight loss. So why wouldn't they just simply search for that particular podcast and then listen to every episode?
Yeah, that's a good question. So there are a couple of issues here when it comes to the searchability of this content. And this is why I think Audia is also pretty interesting, which is that when you're uploading a weight loss podcast, you're usually doing any type of podcast around a 45 to an hour long interview or type of message, right? It sort of ranges within that hour. On Audia, what podcasters are doing is they're recognizing that, look, if I talk about weight loss and I'm phenomenal at it, no matter how good I am, unless I have brand recognition, it is impossible for someone to dedicate 45 minutes of their life to me, right? Because they just don't know me. They, like, you wouldn't take a 45-minute meeting with a stranger for no reason. So at that point, even if you search up a weight loss podcast and like a 60-minute conversation pops up, what is the percentage of conversions of people actually dedicating their time to that? On Audia, what we've noticed is something different. If you can get the best 10-minute segment from that weight loss podcast five times, so now your 50-minute interview becomes five audio ideas on our platform. Each of those audio ideas on the platform itself get a thumbnail, which means a cover art, a title, description, tags, and a bunch of other metadata. Now you've taken one long-form podcast that was 50 minutes long, you split it up into five audios, and each of those five ideas can rank for a ton of different keywords. So one of the ideas can be about weight loss. The other idea can be about intermittent fasting. Intermittent fasting is tangentially related to the concept of weight loss from a broad perspective, but it's not exactly only about weight loss, which means intermittent fasting as the keywords of that idea give that idea new life and new abilities to be searched for and recommended based upon people who are looking just for intermittent fasting. So the ability to take one podcast and turn it into multiple pieces of content that are targeted, direct, specific, and digestible now gives Audia and our algorithms the ability to recommend a lot of those pieces of content to someone who's searching for something like weight loss or intermittent fasting. So we have a hypothesis that if a 7-minute clip about how intermittent fasting helps you lose weight pops up in your feed and you're interested about weight loss, you are much more likely to click on that, especially if the thumbnail and title is an interesting combination of visual sort of ways to engage with content, that now that person, after listening to those 7 minutes, now will listen to the 45-minute thing because they ultimately have some brand recognition and discovery with the content. But if you just search it up and you find a 60-minute interview, it becomes a little bit more difficult to actually engage with it.
And I can see the analogy there when searching on YouTube. So if I'm searching on YouTube for how to do something, whatever it is, whether it's fix something around the house, or whether it's to use a piece of software, or compare technology. So when I search on YouTube, if I find something that's 20 minutes or 30 minutes long, I'm not going to look at that. But yeah. I'm looking for the 3-minute max. I'm looking for three. And if I find one that's 90 seconds, that's the one that's grabbed my attention, because I can give up 90 seconds and to see if that's worth digging deeper into that person. So if I like their 90 second or 3 minute, then I'll go to their channel and say, oh, they got more here. I like the way he said it. And I and so that's the opportunity with Audia, because you don't have that ability with a podcast. If you look at it, pull up a podcast, and some of them are more than an hour long, I'm thinking, I got to listen to this whole hour just to get the piece that I want.
Especially when they're a stranger, right? And you don't even know them at that point.
Yeah, so I see that analogy. I see that benefit there, because what if I'm just commuting, or what if I got a short wait before a meeting, and so I'm waiting for a meeting to start, and I've got 5 or 10 minutes, so I'm doing something. Well, I'll click on a 5 minute audio or a 5 minute video if I'm consuming video. But I'm not going to start an hour program. I got 5 minutes before my meeting. I'm not going to start an hour program. But so I see that opportunity. I see the benefit for listeners, and I see the opportunity for creators to, I guess, put out some of their best stuff as teasers, or perhaps the music analogy is to put out a good single, and mm-hmm. then they might come and buy the album.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, I agree with that 100%. I think the opportunity for users is, if there could be an engine of recommendations and search that gives you the best audio, then I think users are going to use that, right? If they have a good experience with searching for something, finding a piece of content, listening to it, engaging with it, discovering someone new, whether it's an entertainment niche or an information niche, then I think they're going to continue to use that platform. And I think for creators, I think the opportunity is really big, because 99% of creators, I think, like, there's some ridiculous stat, have less than 100 downloads on their podcast. It's like discovery for podcasts is not only broken, it doesn't exist. Like, no platform has been able to really figure out how to solve it. And I think if there is a search engine where creators can populate that empty search engine right now with all of their content around keywords and search, and then our algorithms can do a good job like curating all that content, then there's just a really, really big opportunity for creators to reach a lot more people. So, I mean, I think there's a double-sided opportunity here for a lot of people.
Tell us a little bit about Audia itself, the company. This is a startup. You're in startup. You've been, how long have you been running, and what stage are you at, and where do you go next?
We just reached a year. I mean, we started in November 2020. We officially launched April 2021. So it's been about 7 months of officially launching the product, and it's been about a year of really hypothesizing and building the product. We're at the point where we're scaling now. So we have 1,600 users. So we have 1,600 people who have joined. People have posted around 6,700 times on the platform, which is crazy to think that, you know, people have actually gone on our website and used it 6,700 times. Like, it's awesome. But now we're trying to scale. I mean, we see the product, you know, at 1,600, it can get to 16 million. And from 16, like, we really think this could be 100, 150 million person per month product, simply because we think the opportunity is vast for creators, and we think we're going to give a good user experience to users. So now we're in the mode of just figuring out how to scale, continuously build our infrastructure to be able to support what we're doing and get more attention. I mean, this is what we're all striving for, right? If we can get more people to know about Audia, I think we can get more people to care about Audia. So figuring out innovative ways to get people's attention and get people to care about the product, that is the journey right now.
YouTube makes money through ads. How will Audia make money?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of ways to make money in the future, especially because business models are changing. I think at a sort of core basic level, we could become a aggregator of audio advertisements, just like video is an aggregator of video advertisements. So if you have a search engine for audio, there's obviously going to be advertiser interest for people to target their audio ads or even any type of Audia if they want to promote it on the platform for search terms, for that to be an economic relationship that makes sense. The good thing is, though, I think we're different from a lot of other platforms, and we're more similar to YouTube, which is that YouTube has paid $30 billion to creators over the past 3 years. We don't want to be a platform that makes money unless our creators make money, because the creators are the basis for the platform, right? So if you have a lot of creators creating content, you have the ability to establish partnerships with advertising agencies. And then there's a symbiotic relationship where we would make money only if our creators make money, because the audio advertisements would be in front of their audio, which, again, changes the dynamic. Right now, Spotify can't really pay podcasters because they have a Netflix of podcast relationship. They have to pay the premium talent that they're paying hundreds of millions of dollars to. So, you know, you make a podcast, it's on Spotify, you're like, hey, maybe this can get traction. The problem is Spotify is a fiduciary commitment to make sure that the premium audio that they purchased gets an ROI, especially from an advertising perspective, because the only way for them to make an ROI is to sell ads on that $100 million they spent for the Joe Rogan podcast. So at that point, you know, if there could be an open engine of search in audio that allows average people to make money off their audio because that audio was actually being promoted and not exclusive audio, then I think there's a relationship where creators can make a lot of money as well.
So looking at my podcast, Your Intended Message, and I haven't looked at Spotify recently, but the reality is that I'm probably never going to be a big name on Spotify. Well, I'm not. However, with a tool like Audia, where I have just started publishing recently, I'm learning how to use it. I do have a chance of getting found and established with the shows from the podcast here.
Yeah, I mean, that's the idea. Like people have, this is the other thing I'm happy you brought this up, George, is that there is a treasure trove of content that you've likely created. We have this one guy on Audia. His name is Peter Anthony Holder. He was a Canadian broadcaster. He has 40 years of interviews saved. And it's his intellectual property. He owns that content. That content is dead, given that it's not being distributed anymore over the broadcast, but he has all the audio file recordings. And he joined Audia back in April because he saw the ability for his interview from 1999 to one day pop up in someone's feed, not because it's at the bottom of the graveyard of RSS feeds on Spotify and Apple, but because there is a platform that is taking the keywords from that interview. So for example, he interviewed the guy who made Family Guy, which is a popular cartoon show back in 2001, before the show became the international sensation that it was. That's a good piece of content. I mean, people who are fans of the show would absolutely love to listen to that content. But unless they're searching for it on a platform where they can find Family Guy interview content, or unless it's actively recommended to him, that piece of content dies. And I think that's the thing that keeps me motivated every day is you probably have a ton of interviews from the past. If you could distribute it on a platform that could then recommend those interviews in the future, 10 years from now, then that content gets to live in perpetuity. It gets to give you impact forever and you get to make money off of it forever. But on the existing platforms, that just doesn't exist.
And in testimony to to my use of Audia, which has only been about 2 weeks now since I've started posting, and I've only posted a few things so far because I'm just experimenting and thinking how I'm going to get this going. I have noticed a lot more activity than I expected already. And I'm thinking, wow, that's interesting. I'm getting noticed. I'm getting a lot more comments there than I am through the podcast apps.
Yeah. Well, maybe we've got something that might work. I mean, like, you know, and that's the other thing. Podcast apps are sourcing from RSS feeds. So it's hard for them to build in interactive engagement mechanisms like likes or comments because they don't actually have the content proprietarily hosted on their servers, right? So, I mean, that like the reason YouTube can give you likes and comments and all these different data points about how your content is doing is because the content is uploaded to YouTube. So they know everything about the content, which means they can give you so much more data. We can't give you that much data yet because we're still trying to build out our data infrastructure. But in the future, we will be able to because you're uploading it to Audia, not through some third party that we have to source the content from. So I think that's going to give us a data competitive advantage, which is going to hopefully differentiate the product a lot from a lot of things.
And how can people who want to check out Audia in terms of listening to content, finding content that they might be interested in, how can they do that? What do they do?
Yeah, so you can either go to audia.io, that's our website, and consume audio from there. You'll be presented with a bunch of thumbnails, which are what we call Audias. You click on them and it's just the audio and then you can consume it. Or you can download our app. We're not on Android yet, we're on iOS. And the good thing about the app and the website is you don't have to make an account to consume any content. So you can download it, you immediately get the content. And then if you wanna like or comment or subscribe, then obviously we would ask you to make an account. But the content will be presented. You can search for anything even without an account. And if you download Audia on the App Store, then you'll be able to start consuming content.
I'm curious, what happens when someone searches for particular content that they can't find? How does Audia use that information?
Yeah, I mean, so the good thing is, you know, now that we're 7 months into this and we have over 6,700 pieces of content on the platform, each of those pieces of content times, I don't know, 30, 40 keywords. So we have over, you know, 500,000 different keywords on the platform. So if you search for something, you're likely going to find something. That was not the case in April, but is now the case now. But if there is some content that's in a core niche that you can't find, then it's going to say that no ideas pop up. And what I think that's going to do from one perspective, from the user, it's going to be like, oh, they don't have the content I don't want to consume. Maybe I don't want to use this app. But from a creator perspective, you're going to be like, oh, this app doesn't have enough real estate content on it. I'm a real estate developer. I can start flooding this app with real estate content and I can start ranking for keywords because I can't do that on YouTube. I can't do that on Google. I can't, you know, those platforms are way too mature and you know, they're too saturated. So I think there is an opportunity if there is a niche that is untapped, but day by day, we're just having more and more content populate the platform. So we're confident that if you search for something, you'll be able to find something good.
How do you keep a quality standard?
That is a very good question. And there's two problems with quality on the platform. Some people are uploading content in the way that we don't want them to upload it, which is episode 53, interview with Mr. Smith. And it's like, you got to recognize on an RSS feed, that might work because no one's going to find that piece of content. So it doesn't matter what you title it. And if they do find it, it's because you drove the traffic from Twitter or Facebook or whatever to get them to listen to episode 53. On Audia, episode 53, interview with Mr. Smith, is going to pop up in someone's feed. And then from a user, you have to ask yourself the question, if you're a creator, why would anyone click on that, right? No one knows who Mr. Smith is. No one cares that you're on episode 53. So part of remaining quality on the platform is making sure that the titles that pop up in your feed are actually specific to what the content is talking about, and that the thumbnail, which is the visual element, the picture of the Audia itself, is not just the logo of the podcast. Because again, no one cares about your logo because no one knows who you are. But if you're saying, you know, Audia, how this entrepreneur almost went bankrupt, and then you have a picture of money on fire, right? That's an interesting sort of combination of something I want to click on and then consume, and then I can get into the rest of your content. So yeah, quality is a hard thing to do. And what we're trying to do right now is just educate creators on how to best upload. And hopefully that education goes far so that we get the best quality content.
So what I heard in there is that when a content creator publishes on Audia, you need to use some SEO smarts. Think, what are people searching for? Make sure you put in the words that they're searching for and put in the image that'll catch their attention that kind of relates to the word that they're searching for so that they go, ah, exactly what I'm looking for. Let's listen.
Exactly. And you don't have to say season three or season five or episode. Like, no one cares about that. They just want to know what they're trying to get at. So I wouldn't say clickbait the title or sensationalize it, but I would say make it interesting enough for people to care. And if people don't know about you, they don't care if you're on episode 500, right? They care about, what am I getting from here? So making sure those titles are SEO friendly is a huge, huge thing for Audia, because we are actually putting your titles in front of people, which is something none of the platforms are doing. And you want to maximize the conversion rate for people clicking on it.
Amit, here we are nearing the end of 2021. Where do you see Audia a year from now and 5 years from now?
Our goal is to get it to the point where we can hit critical mass. I think when we hit critical mass, we'll be able to get some funding from venture capitalists. We tried to get funding over the past 4 months, actually, and it was such a rocky experience. It was a ton of rejections. And it wasn't rejections in the context of the idea is bad. It was rejections in the context of, you don't have the numbers we need yet to justify giving you a couple million dollars. Because it was a lot of cold emails to a lot of people in Silicon Valley. And I was getting the meetings, you know, people were actually like sitting down and talking with me through Zoom. And these are meetings that are very hard to get with people who have very limited amount of time. So the idea has the interest we know from the venture community. Now it's just a question of us building up enough intestinal fortitude and empirical data to justify that this is an idea worth funding. So, I mean, best case scenario, a year from now, I think we hit enough critical mass. We have 10, 15, 20,000 users. And at that point, we can get some funding from some venture capitalists. And once we get that funding, it's off to the moon in the next 5 years.
Amit, in wrapping up, if you could offer three pieces of advice, one, two, or three pieces of advice to content creators who might or might not currently have a podcast, but they are content creators, what might you say to them to encourage them to make use of Audia as a channel for publishing their content?
So instead of three pieces of advice, I'll take the time to focus on one core thing that I've learned after 5 years of being a content creator, which is that your content does not matter unless you have a distribution strategy. It is that simple. You can write the world's greatest book. If you have no idea how to get people to read that book, the book doesn't matter, unfortunately. It matters to you in the process of making the book, but if no one else reads it, then it's kind of the most narcissistic book you could read, right? Because you got fun out of it, but no one else got fun out of it. So if you're making a podcast, it's not only incredibly saturated and competitive, it is a question of what is your differentiated variable for the podcast. And the differentiated variable is not the quality of the content. Like, oh, I interview firefighters. It's like, okay, that's cool. But why would people care? And to me, the only way people care is if the platforms by which you're distributing that content, which is the mediator between you and the masses, has an incentive with your content. And every audio platform that currently exists simply does not have the incentive. I wouldn't say to not post on those platforms because being everywhere is great just in case anything happens. But I would take a lot of time and energy, research what Audia is doing if you're trying to be in the audio space, and see if you think the incentives of Audia actually are aligned with the creator. And if you come to that conclusion yourself, then I would say take advantage of the platform, because I truly do think we're going to be a $1 billion company one day, and the people that are getting in early are going to be able to get the benefits of what we're building. So I would say do some research and understand distribution is everything before the quality of the content.
Valuable content to wrap up on. My guest today is Amit Kukreja of Audia.io.
Thank you, George. I appreciated it. And thank you for letting me explain my own intended message.
If you like what you heard, remember to like, comment, and share this podcast. Come back every week for more practical insights to help you deliver your intended message. I'm your host, George Torok.